You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to Your Ultimate Life. Your ultimate life, not mine, yours. Now, everything I say today, I want you to think about you. I want you to hear you. I might tell stories that have me or other people in them. But the point of this isn't for me to tell stories to you about me or other people. The point is for you to create that life you love. Now, I don't know if you're driving or if you're running or out for a walk or when you listen to this, but I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you have the life you want right now? Like, are you excited about what's going on today? How about tomorrow? How about yesterday? Did you wake up this morning, like just flying out of bed because you were so stoked? You might think I'm crazy, and I won't even deny that. Maybe I am. That's okay. It's fun. It's crazy fun. And I really enjoy not just being crazy, but I'm serious now for a minute. I love the life that I have, the life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, a life where I get to serve people. My goal this year, as you know, is to help 250 million people. And I just had a chance earlier today to be a guest on a podcast. And this was an interesting fellow, and it was a really good interview, and I really enjoyed it. And he asked, one of the questions I always get asked is, gee, Kellen, how did you get to be a coach? What is that? What happened to make that happen? Because, you know, when you're growing up and they ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, astronaut, secret agent, you know, policeman, artist, you know, normal things. But I've never, ever heard someone say, I'm going to be a coach. And if they happen to say that, they say, well, you know, they're thinking of football coach, you know, that a coach for the latest Super Bowl winners just got signed to a very, very lucrative contract for a couple more years because he's a champion and the creator of champions. So let's think about that for a minute. Today's episode is titled Break the Cage. And I use that because CAGE is a perfect acronym. Now, you remember Sylvester and Tweety Bird, right? If you're old enough to remember that cartoon, the bird is hanging up in the air and inside one of these cages. And the bird can see out. In fact, the bars are far enough apart that the bird can actually escape. But in a real bird cage, they're not. But you can see right into it and right out of it. So you can see everything, but the cage keeps the cat out and theoretically the bird in. Now, being locked in a cage is like that. So when I ask you, are you living the life you want? Have you created a life you love? And that's across all areas, like your money. Do you have the cash you need to do what you want? Do you have the physical shape and conditioning and stamina that you want? I mean, I don't know. And nobody's keeping score or grading your papers here. But this is a real question. Because most of the time we just go day to day and we don't really think about this stuff, right? Do you have the relationships you want? Do you have a significant other or not? Do you have friends that are deep and meaningful, that you trust and that are really supportive? Are you a good friend and supportive to others? Do you keep your mind focused and active and busy and learning? It is so easy to get distracted by all the garbage. I mean, right now we are entering the next 8 months or nine are going to be absolute madness. What are we? March, coming into March. So April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 8 months and change of madness while we figure out how to elect a president with all kinds of crazy people on TV everywhere talking about politics. We are not talking about politics today. I have my own opinions and so do you. But what I sure know is that no matter what station I turn to, I can't watch it 5 minutes without swimming in garbage. And it just feels like, you know, whoever's talking is dripping with like disdain and that sort of thing. Well, that isn't part of an ultimate life, but that's the world we live in. So what do you do to maintain stability, sanity, control, happiness, joy, positivity, your ability to contribute, your ability to make the money you want and enjoy life? What are you doing to make that happen? Most of the time, people that I talk to, even ones that say I'm really happy, as soon as I ask some little bit more, well, you know, there's this and there's this and there's lots of pieces that really aren't like they want. So what is the deal? Is it just impossible? Is having a daily walk that you love, is that just a pipe dream? Well, you might think so, but it's not. And that's what this show is about. It's about, number one, affirming your possibility. You, right here, right now, have the ability to create a life you love. If you don't have one right now, that's not a problem. It isn't. It's only a problem if you complain and don't change it. Like, you're free to do that. Now, you know people like that. They're addicted to complaining, right? They'd rather complain about something than fix it, because complaining feels good and fixing something or changing something might feel hard. So, okay, let's just bitch. That's fine. And that's okay if that's where you want to live. But the kind of people that I work with and like to encourage are those that say, you know, I'm here and I want to be there. I have this much money. I want this much. I have this kind of health. I would like this. I have this kind of relationship. I want this. Now, you know what? Most of the time when people do that, they do it in the context of complaining. Darn it, I don't have what I want. And if so-and-so would just such and such, then everything would be okay. Well, that's a losing game. So we're not going to approach it from that. First of all, because 99.9% of the time, neither you nor I have the power to go reorganize whatever it is we're complaining about to make it happen. We don't control the world. And in fact, funny thing, the world has been unfolding for 15 billion years without your help. In a flawless, coordinated fashion, the universe, not the world, but the universe. And I saw this thing the other day, it was interesting, about they're measuring, you know, like they do galaxies and redshifts and how far away you can see this, that, and the other. And this new piece of information from that, the newest telescope they have, that's the biggest, most powerful one, has revised the estimate of the age of the universe to double. They used to think it was, I think, 13.8 billion, and now it's 26 point something. So suddenly, with a little more information, it's twice as big, twice as old, whoever. Point is, it's been unfolding without your help. Your neighborhood got built without your say-so. The companies that are existing in the country, they got built without your cooperation and work. Maybe you're an entrepreneur and maybe you have your own company and you built that one. But for the most part, with flawless precision, the weather cycle, acorns growing into oak trees, oceans teeming with life, all that stuff on this planet and all the others has been growing and happening without your interference. So that clearly indicates that we don't have any power over that sort of thing. But there's one thing that you and I have absolute power over. Hear that, absolute power. And that is what you think, what you feel, and what you do. Now, you might think, okay, that doesn't amount to anything. That's jack. If all I control is what I think, what I feel, and what I do, I'm going to have a miserable life because so much of my misery is because of everybody and everything else. Well, that's a bunch of crap. Straight up. I don't care what anybody else does. I can tell you right now, I don't know you individually, personally, but way over 99% of the people that I talk to have very little mastery over what they think, what they feel, and what they do. So those are the only things you control, but most people aren't even doing that. Whoa. Instead, they're reacting. So somebody does this, I yell at them. That was stupid, you moron. Driving down the road, somebody cuts you off. Flip them off, get angry. What are they thinking, et cetera, et cetera. Your boss does this, you get mad. That's no control at all. That is you being kicked around by the events outside of you. Now, again, you're free to live like that. It's kind of a sucky way to live. Bashed around like a billiard ball bouncing off the rails. Bumped here and bumped there. Wouldn't it be more fun to control your life? I don't mean control other people. That's off the table. That starts wars and, you know, all kinds of problems. And nobody, you know, and then when you do that, and then there's resistance and, you know, negativity, that never wins. So how do you control your life? And more importantly, how do you use that control over your thoughts, your feelings, and your action to create the life you want when you have zero control over the weather, the government, the economy, you know, global warming, and all the rest? We don't control that. So how do we make life fun anyway, no matter what happens around us? Well, it's not easy, but it's very simple. Now, today I said break the cage, and I started talking about Tweety Bird in the little cage, so let's take that further. If you are locked in a cage, then you can't get out, but you can see through the bars. So imagine this picture. You're in a cage, you can look through the bars, and outside of there, you see everybody living exactly like you want. They have life purpose. They seem to have everything they need. They're having a great time and truly enjoying life. Now, when you look at social media, there's all kinds of people that fake that, and they brag about this and rent mansions and sports cars to prove they have money. I used to think that was didn't really happen that much until I got in this coaching business that I'm in now and have been for many years. People brag on social media, and they flat out lie, exaggerate. And so when you actually talk to them, well, you know, there's this problem and that problem. So forget that as a measurement of anything. You're in the cage. You're not looking at someone's social feed or anything like that, but you're looking right into their hearts. And you see right in their hearts that they're happy, they're joyful, they're living this life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that those are my words for ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. And if you don't like those, pick some other ones. They're living that life, and you're not. And you're in that cage, and you can see the money, the health, the relationships, the freedom. You can see that out there, and you're sticking your hand through the bars, and you're training as hard as you can to reach it, but it's out of reach. Now, that feeling is sucky. It's not fun at all, right? So what do we do about that? Because here's the truth. As I talk to people, and I talk to at least a dozen brand new people I have never met every week. Now, the reason I do that is because I love people, and I set up my networking and processes to go and be places to meet people. I do that on purpose because I want to. I want to get to know people. And remember, my mission is to help you. 250 million people this year. And my year only goes till October 14th to help 250 million people this year discover who they really are. And by that, I mean that they really control their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. And with that control can be happy all the time, joyful, powerful, in control, make a difference, make money. Help people understand who they really are, the power they really have, and then help them create life, circumstance, money, business, power, joy from that place of infinite possibility. That's what I mean when I say I'm going to help 250 million people. And the message is the message I'm sharing tonight, which is you can, you have the power. So let's talk about that cage. Now, CAGE is an acronym. It stands for, each letter stands for a word. And I've got two sets of words. Now, the first set of words is how we live often. We're locked in a cage. We can see the kind of life we want. We can see people that either are or seem to be having what we want, and we're reaching, and we can't have it. C in that cage stands for compare. Compare. So we compare ourselves to others. They have more breaks than me. They have more friends. They know people in high places. They got the breaks. They this, they that, right? We compare ourselves to others. Now, you and I both know, we really don't know hardly ever what's actually going on in people's lives. Mostly what we see is the highlight reel, the Instagram feed, and the nonsense that's posted on social. Or even if you meet people in person, how are you doing? They'll tell you a couple of the highlights, and or else if they love to live in drama, oh, I'm terrible, my week sucks, this is bad, so-and-so did such and such, and they're busy, you know, blaming. Right? But in truth, you and I have actually no idea what's going on in anybody else's life, with rare exceptions. Very, very close people, you might know something. But we never really know that. So we compare our own full knowledge of everything we have, including our weaknesses and our failings and the things we're afraid of and the things we don't dare. We compare all that to somebody else's highlight reel. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out you're going to come off poorly in that comparison. You're going to compare your weakness, frailty, lack of success, failure, partial success, yearning, grumbling. You're going to compare all that because you got that full spectrum right there in front of you to somebody else's highlight reel, and you're going to come off feeling hard done by. Duh. Okay, so compare is the first letter in the cage. The A stands for abandon. So you compare your life to someone else's, you come off poorly, and what happens? Well, you either get pissed off or you give up. If you get pissed off, then you complain about all the things that aren't fair in life and how come they this and they that, or how come you got the raw end or whatever. Or you just give up. You abdicate. You collapse. I can never do it. I've worked too hard. No matter what, I had somebody say this to me the other day. No matter what I do, it's never going to work. Just can't. You know, that kind of feeling, right? Wow. So we abandon our goals. So that would be like you're in the cage. You see the stuff. You reach out and you're craning to reach it and you can't reach it. You compare your full spectrum reel to somebody else's highlight reel. You come off feeling crappy. And so you flop on the floor of the cage and sit down in the bird poop. Plop. Right? You give up. Bleh. I can't do this. Okay, that is compare, abandon. The G stands for grumble. Grumble. Then you grumble. We bitch about the weather. We bitch about the politicians. We bitch about the laws. We bitch about those horrible whatever. The boss or the economy or the raw deal that we got or the taxes we have to pay or the carbon taxes. Funny. Joy, my angel, holy wife, she's the angel of my life. And I always say that every time I speak her sacred name. But anyway, Joy and I were looking at our our utility bill the other day, and we were excited in a bad way, holy cow, to see that starting this month of January, which we got the bill for a couple weeks ago, that thanks to the government of Canada's policies, there is now a $100 carbon tax. And we looked at the month before and there's no carbon tax. So it wasn't like they raised the tax. They invented a new tax and it went into place on January 2024. Now, I didn't research it, so I don't know if it's proportional to the amount of natural gas we use. We have natural gas heating. And if it is, then it'll be less next month because for the first 2 weeks of January, it was blinding cold. You remember in the U.S., they had that big cold, huge Arctic thing coming down. Where here up in Alberta, we got that brutal. I remember the news things saying all those electric cars couldn't hold a charge and everybody was complaining about their Teslas and other electric vehicles. And that made me resolve, yeah, I'm not buying an electric vehicle until we have at least two or three more generational advances. I'm all for clean air and I'm all for electricity. After all, I worked in electricity for 30 years. But I'm not going to buy a car that I can't depend on. That's just not happening. But anyway, because of that two and a half week brutal cold snap that we had, a snap was a whole salad. I don't know if snap, but anyway, big long cold spell. Our gas, natural gas usage was way, way, way up because we had it on 24/7. A lot of the time in the high was minus 20 or worse in the daytime, which in Fahrenheit is zero. So it was below zero Fahrenheit, minus 20 or 19 Celsius and down to minus 40, which is the same for both temperatures at night. And that went on for 2.5 weeks. So we used a ton of it. And maybe that's had something to do with being as high as it was. We'll see when we get the bill next month. Bottom line is that's there. Now, I could grumble about it and get mad, but I don't. Not because I enjoy giving $100 for a carbon tax. I don't know what they're going to do with. Don't know if it's going to solve the global climate change problem or anything else. But I choose not to grumble. It is what it is. We'll talk about that when we get to the other side of the acronym. So we compare, we abandon, and then we grumble. Grumble. And the last one, E, C-A-G-E, is excuse. Then we excuse ourselves. So we set some goals. We're going to do them. We then compare ourselves to others or have completely unrealistic expectations. We get upset because other people seem to be doing better, making more money, being happier, having cooler stuff, better vacations, or whatever than us. So then we abandon our goals. We grumble because it's unfair. And then we excuse ourselves. I call it the it's not my fault monster. Now, that cage is truly lethal. If you live in a cage of compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, you're going to spend the rest of your life either flopped on the floor of the bird cage, sitting in bird poop, or leaning against the bars, craning, trying to reach for the good life. What in the world are you thinking? Why would you spend your 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, 100 years in this world like that? Nobody makes you. You don't have to. You might be socialized or taught, to chase the brass ring, and this is how you, quote, ought to live your life. But if doing that leads you to this place of unhappiness where you're stuck in a cage, craning for the good life, or abandoning it, sitting on the floor in the poop, why would you stay there when there is another alternative? Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Another definition of cage. And this is break the cage. Break the cage. Now, you may have spent a day, a week, a month, a decade, maybe several decades living in the cage. That means stuck, reaching for dreams you believe you can't have, being mad about it, and then giving up, and then repeating it over and over again. Something happens in your life, you thump your fist on the table, you say, I'm going to change, you get up, and the cycle repeats. Compare, abandon, grumble, excuse. That's being locked in a cage. Now, the truth is, it's not necessary. So let's take this a different direction, and let's go to the other acronym for cage, because we're going to break this cage. One of the clients that I had gave me that nickname. He called me the cage breaker. Now, for the most part, I hope none of you are in a physical cage. If you are, it takes a different kind of help than listening to a podcast. But we are often in a theoretical cage that's just as real and just as binding, a mental cage, a spiritual cage where we believe a whole stack of negative things about ourselves. So let's get some fundamental truths. You're not a dummy. You're smart. You're as smart as I am. You're as smart as the next person. The question is, what are you doing with that ability? You have talents that you have developed skills that you sell in the marketplace. Maybe you deliver pizza. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're an actor or an actress. Maybe you are an engineer. Maybe you're a musician. But whatever it is, you have a set of skills that you've developed, you're selling in the marketplace. You have some natural gifts, too. I love meeting people for that reason. I get to see their natural gifts. It's so fascinating to just be in the presence of someone that I've never met and just let them talk, just to ask some questions and let them talk. Because in that space, they reveal themselves by how they talk about themselves, how they talk about their opportunities, what they like, what they don't like, what they praise, what they diss. All of those things, it just paints a picture energetically of who they are and how they see life. And I don't have any judgment about that because everybody's free to be whatever they are, but it's fascinating as anything. Now, here's what I know. In addition to the skills you have natural gifts. Maybe they're obvious, like music or art. Maybe they're not so obvious, like listening or being empathetic or having intuitive sense of what to do. And there's a thousand other ones. And the third thing you have is life experience. You have a pile of life experience that has shaped you and taught you. Shaped you and taught you. Your life experience is completely unique. It's not the same as anybody else's. So if you look at a combination of your existing skills, your gifts, and your life experience, you have the ability to do the first word of the new acronym, C, and that is create. Instead of comparing, Picasso was famous for saying that. He, during his lifetime, there were a lot of critics, okay, and they would criticize his stuff for whatever reason, and I'm not an art student, and so I don't know the details, but I do know that he was criticized a lot during his life. And one of the sayings he said, one of the things he said, and I'm going to say it wrong, but I'll tell you what it is. And he said, yeah, I just paint it and I get put it out there and I'll let the critics do whatever they do, and I'm on to the next one. So he was busy creating. Now, he wasn't creating with one eye looking over at critics, hoping that they would pat him on the butt. Good boy. He was using his gift and talent, using his vision to focus on the thing at hand. One of the biggest poisons that is seems to be in the air. We almost breathe it in. And I call it the Wittot fungus, Witot. Now, you've never heard of the Wittot fungus unless you've heard my other episodes or other media that I've talked about. Wittot stands for what I think others think, Witot, what I think others think. It's a poison. It's a fungus. It's a contaminant. Because if you spend, if you're trying to, and we use Picasso, if you're trying to paint, that is your passion, whatever it is, write a song, write a book, do whatever it is that you feel called to do. You're trying to do that. If you're busy, poisoned with the Wittot fungus, you're looking around wondering what other people think and you're worrying about it, you're not giving your best effort. My wife is a publisher, and she publishes books for me and a lot of clients. And it's so funny to hear people, to see what they want to say on the back cover or the cover design that they bring. They're not thinking at all about the value they're bringing to the marketplace. They're busy worrying about what somebody's thinking. And consequently, she has to do a lot of work to help them realize the potential of their own work. Anyway, sidetrack. So the first C is create. Create. So here's your challenge. Create. What are you creating in the world? I use lots of phrases to describe that, to encourage and to help people see. One of them is add good to the world. Now, we breathe. And in breathing, we add carbon dioxide, right? Okay, cool. You also have the choice to add good to the world. Now, we see many people. We saw that tragic murder in Georgia. Well, that person was not adding good to the world. Okay, there's violence added to the world. There's hunger added to the world. There's misery and cheating and pain. So a question I ask all my podcast guests, and all my guests that come on this show, tell me how you're adding good to the world. Now, I'd never ask that question to embarrass them, because I don't have any guests that aren't about doing good, that aren't busy trying to create and do something, right? They're not appropriate, because my message is about your ability to create, your ability to build that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. So the piece of breaking the cage, the C, stands for create. So what are you doing to create? Out of your heart, out of your passion, out of your talents, out of your gifts, out of your life experience. And now I'm going to give you some examples, but remember, I told you the examples, you need to hear them about you, even though I'm going to tell a story about something I've done, because you're not here, so I can ask you to tell a story. So one of the things I did is I wrote a book. I've written a whole bunch of them, but one of them is called Tightrope of Depression. My journey from darkness, despair, and death to light, love, and life. And it's about my own life from very young up until and a couple of years past a dramatic intervention and change that I had in 2007. So from zero to 52 and maybe to 54. But the dramatic event was in when I was 52 in 2007. Now, I wrote that book because I needed to. I needed to tell the story. I needed to organize my journey because I'd lived with decades of depression, and that had led me to dark places, failed relationships and addictions and things. And as I healed, a dramatic event in 2007 changed my direction, and I began a path of healing quite late. I was 52 when I started on this path of healing and growth. So, I wrote that book. Now, because I wanted to create impact, besides writing the book, I wrote the story of my growth, my failures, my addictions, my depression, and all the things that happened. Then I wrote about the transformation and a little bit after that for a couple of years, and that's when that book ended. My creativity, my creation, I was blessed with music. I love music. I've been doing some music since I was very young, 5 or 6. I learned to read music at the same time I learned to read. I played the piano all my life. And so what I decided to do is what? I wrote some songs. I wrote 11 songs to tell stories from that book. Now, I wasn't looking around trying to figure out who was going to like them. I hope they do. I hope people hear the songs and they have meaning for them. I didn't write them so that they would say, yay, Kellen. I wrote them because I wanted to tell the story just like I wrote the book, and I'm hoping that those stories will connect with you. If you've struggled with depression or those related things and you have felt not good enough, then that I would absolutely recommend the book because it might resonate with you. But my point is, I created that. I created it, the book and the music, and put it out in the world. I had no idea whether or not anyone would like it or it would be useful. Now, years later, I know that it is, but I didn't know that. So I created that. That's the kind of creation I'm talking about. What are you or can you create that comes out of your heart and soul that is designed to add good to the world? I wrote that book and those songs to help people who are struggling with some kind of mental illness. I wrote it for those who are caring for those struggling, so they might have some thoughts from the point of view of the inside of a person that's going through those struggles. So that's why I wrote that book and wrote those songs, to put it in the world, to add good to the world. Now, that was me. So what? What are you doing to add good to the world? And it doesn't matter if the answer is nothing. This is an invitation to start. So that's create. The second letter, A, is achieve. Create, achieve. Achieve is milestones. So I had a milestone to finish a book. I had a milestone to finish that album, and I picked 11 songs. And so I achieved status as being an author. We did a bunch of marketing and achieved a bestseller status. You know, we achieved getting the music up on all the digital platforms all over the world, probably at least 60 or 70 digital platforms. I found a worldwide distributor and I achieved that kind of distribution. It wasn't, again, yay me. It was because that was coming out of my desire to add good to the world. The difference is that if I'm doing it so people think I'm cool, then if they don't think I'm cool, then I lose. If I'm doing it because I'm trying to add good to the world, if I help one person, then I win. If I just tell my story from my heart and soul, I get to win. And so do you. Now remember, using me in these stories is just because I'm here talking. I want you to hear this about you. What can you do to add good to the world? What can you do to pull something out of your heart that is good and powerful? So that's create and achieve. The third letter, G, is grow. Create, achieve, grow. Now, the reason I put that there is when you do these things, you do grow. You may grow financially if what you do is valuable and people pay you. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. I had a conversation today. It was by text. It was with a woman who is very committed. She is also a coach or wants to be a coach. And she has a rich, from what I gathered from the messages, a rich commitment and life experience to helping people who are struggling in various ways, to give them hope, encouragement, ideas, tips, you know, the kinds of things that you do as a coach. She wants to do that, but she's stuck with how to grow a business. How do I make that pay so that I can do more of it? Now, in the line of work that I'm in, this ultimate life stuff, creating a gazillion dollars isn't the prime directive. We got to have money to live. And it would be great to live nicely so we can live in a good place and take some vacations. So I'm all for that. But the goal line isn't the gold bars. The goal line is the melted hearts. The goal line is people who believe in themselves. The goal line is people who cherish life and create relationships and love and health, as well as financial success. That's the goal line. And when you have a different goal line, your behavior is different. If my goal line for writing all these books and the songs that I've written and everything were just money, I would do it completely differently. But the goal line is adding good to the world. And for me, that gives me that purpose. So my purpose is to help 250 million people this year. What is yours? What is yours? And when you create, is every creation designed to further that purpose? Is every achievement that you map out in your plan, your yearly, quarterly, five-year plan, are they designed to further your purpose? What happens when you do is you do grow. You grow as a person, you grow in wisdom, you grow in skill, you grow in your ability to serve, you grow in your love for people, and goodness knows the world could use a little more love, a little more kindness, a little more compassion, a lot more, actually. And I can't change the world, but I can sure change me, and I can be the change I wish to see in the world, and we've all heard that phrase. The fourth letter, create, achieve, grow, and the last one is enjoy. Create, achieve, grow, enjoy. Now, that is another way of saying purpose, prosperity, and joy, because your growth comes in many ways, and financially is one of them. I have never yet had a conversation with a single person where we could not figure out how to take that passion that they have about whatever it is and turn it into a product or a service where they could make either a full-time or a part-time income doing what they love and adding good to the world. I've never talked to someone where we couldn't do that. If you think you're that case, I'd love to talk to you. Maybe I'm wrong. But I've never seen that. And the reason's simple. When you serve out of your heart with your real passion and your love, it's valuable. And there will be an audience, a group of people who want to hear your voice, who want to hear your message, who want to buy your product, who want to be in your growth energy. Always, 100% of the time. Create, achieve, grow, enjoy. Now we've talked about compare, abandon, grumble, excuse. We've talked about create, achieve, grow, enjoy. One of them keeps you locked in the cage forever, miserable, complaining, and convinced that life is unfair and the world's out to get you. The other allows you to get to infinite expansion, adding good to the world, and purpose, prosperity, and joy. So what I'd like to do now is I want to talk about what the names of the bars are. Because if you're in a cage, there's bars, right? And I give the bars names. The bars have names on them. And the names are the three biggest barriers that I see that keep people from going from compare, abandon, grumble, excuse over to create, achieve, grow, enjoy. Now, I'm not saying these are the only barriers, but every single person I've talked to, when we dig into what's keeping them from living the life they want, taking the risks they want to take, doing that thing that they think they ought to do, it's always one of these three things. Number one is fear. That is the biggest killer of dreams, right? I'm afraid I will fail. I'm afraid I will be embarrassed. I'm afraid I can't cut it. I'm not good enough. I'm afraid it's too late. I'm afraid my time has passed. I'm afraid I'm not smart enough, fast enough. I'm afraid I'll get crushed or exposed, and the list goes on and on. By now, you will have heard one or more fear centers that live in your life. Every person that I've talked to about this stuff, when I get to have a conversation instead of a monologue, always can tell me, yeah, but, you know the tone, you know the feeling. And there's fear in there. Fear. You know what? Fear isn't even real. Like, bring me a cup of fear. Bring me a teaspoon of fear. You can't. Fear is a thought. It's a chemical concoction. It might constrict your throat. It might make you upset to your stomach. It might do a lot of things. So it's real in that sense, but it is created because we think stuff. We think it, and then we believe it. We think we'll fail, we believe we'll fail, and the body complies. It floods you with a chemical cocktail that's poison. And it feels poison. Upset stomach, tight shoulders, nervous, you know, ulcers and all the rest. Fear is the biggest destroyer of dreams. Fear kills more things before they start than failure ever will. I want you to think about that for a minute. Fear destroys more dreams than failure ever will. Because if you fail, you've tried. And then you've learned what didn't work. Failure isn't fatal. Failure isn't final. Failure is an IDP, interesting data point. Oh, that didn't work? Okay. You can decide that didn't work, therefore I quit, or that didn't work, therefore I'm going to do something different. That's on you. 100%. That didn't work, therefore I quit. Oh, I'm going to die of embarrassment. That didn't work. Let's try this. So fear is the first name on the bar. The second one is related, but different, and that is procrastination. Oh, it's not the right time. Oh, I can't put the time and effort in right now. Oh, it's not my season. Oh, I have a busy job. Oh, I'm traveling a lot. Oh, I'm raising kids. Oh, I'm whatever it is. Now, the commitments that you've made, whether it is to a particular job, a particular person, a particular child or children, those are real, and I don't diminish those in the slightest. If you've made commitments, I believe we should keep our word. We should be our word. We should be dependable and so forth. But if you want to create something, you needn't let your commitments eliminate your opportunities. Commitments have a time frame. Commitments can be ended. I committed to do a thing, I can do it, and I can go tell the person, I can't do this anymore. I'll be done in 2 weeks or a month. I'm done with this commitment. I can no longer complete this. You can renegotiate commitments, you can end commitments, and you can do it honorably and above board without feeling yucky. And doing that can create time and create energy. So procrastination is, I call procrastination the slow death of dreams, right? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll clean the garage this Saturday. You know, I'm going to start that book next week. I'm going to start that workout program next year. We all know the drill, right? So fear is one, procrastination is the other, and the third one is self-sabotage. Now, that was a favorite for me. I had a deep-rooted story in me that I wasn't good enough. Came from childhood and a lot of, you know, abusive things that happened there. So I believed with all my heart that I wasn't good enough and everything bad was my fault. Now, that sounds silly to say, but I believed that. And that belief operated in me in a really strong way, so much so that when I created success, career or whatever, I believed I didn't deserve it, so I would trash it, burn it down, wreck it, lose the opportunity, lose the job, get fired. You know, those kinds of things happened, and I did it. I did it. I burned stuff down because self-sabotage, I believed I wasn't worth it. Another way self-sabotage shows up is you get something almost done and then you slow down or stop just before the finish line. I had somebody tell me the other day, I've got this book. It's nearly done. Done. I just can't get it over the finish line. I was reading one of Stephen Pressfield books. I'm pointing over there because I've got a stack of them. And he said, you know, he almost finished this book and it sat almost finished for a long time. Finally, he got some help and kicked him over the finish line. That feeling of self-sabotage shows up as quitting right before the finishing line. That may be related to fear. Fear it won't be liked. Fear of a lot of things. And fear might underlie all these things. Fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage are the three names of the bars of the cage. Now, it's your life. You can live stuck in the stories that you're in. Maybe you're living your ultimate life. Maybe everything I've said all this whole hour, you said, yep, I got that. I'm doing it. I'm stoked. I love my life every day. I fly out of bed. I sleep well, and I crush it. Okay, cool. But 99% of people I make are not like that. So this is for you. I love you. I want you to understand you have power to change. Change isn't going to come in an Amazon box. The answers won't come special delivery. But they're in your hands. You get to choose, compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, create, achieve, grow, enjoy. You can shatter the bars of fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage. I don't know what you're going to need to do that. I needed to get help. When I changed my whole life in 2007, after decades of struggle and self-sabotage, I had to do a lot of work. I had to get into some 12-step programs. I had to go see some counselors. I had to hire coaches. I had to do a lot of work. It wasn't easy, but it was rewarding because it changed my whole life. It turned me into an author and a coach with a worldwide reach and clients all over the world. I wouldn't trade what I have now for anything, and I wouldn't trade one bloody knee and one piece of broken glass that I've crawled over to get here, because the pain and the struggle that you have and that I have are the texture and the tapestry of our lives. It is the strength that we draw on as we add good to the world. If I didn't have the experiences I have, I wouldn't have anywhere near the ability to add good to the world that I do. So this is your moment of choice. This is a call to you to think deeply about it or blow me off. Your call. But I invite you to consider this truth. You have the ability to create the life you want. I don't care what's going on around you. You create your thoughts. You create your feelings, and you create your actions. That is your sovereign right. If you give it up, then you give it up. Then complaining about the outcome is kind of pointless. Reclaim grab a hold, take control of your sovereign life. You only get one. YOLO, you only live once. That's true. Sometimes that's an excuse to go do silly things. Right now, I'm inviting you to consider that it is a reason to elevate your sights, to go from compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, to create, achieve, grow, enjoy, and explode the bars of fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage. I invite you to go to this website, www.yourultimatelife.ca. I've got stuff there that doesn't cost money. It's not free because it costs time and effort, but it doesn't cost any cash. Five master keys to creating this ultimate life. Five master keys to doing the things that I've talked about today. Now, I can't give you everything in an episode, but I can invite you to step into your own opportunity. Reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to help you. I'd love to have you be one of the 250 million that I help this year to start or move further or faster on the road to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.